You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with, that way, Wayne Fritz. Yes, sir. Hey, I had to get my opposite day thing on. And so today we have a special guest with us, folks. Mr. Sherrod Ellis was with us about maybe a couple of years ago. And this is a gentleman that, I want everybody to get to know a little bit more than they already know. Mr. Ellis, I think Mr. Ellis and I began Wayne in 1998. That's right, 1998. In 1998, I was an adjunct professor at Columbia College of Columbia, Missouri. And I held that position, y'all, for 19 years. Ooh. Fun fact about Bruce Cameron. Now, part of that, my office, at the time I had an office in the Marine Air Group 41, the 10th Marines, the artillery unit, 14th Air Force. And so they would give me an office to teach college courses. And lo and behold, out of nowhere, is Sherrod Ellis, first day of school. I'll let you go about what you were wearing and all that other stuff. But man, and this is a guy who got his bachelor's. He went on to get two master's degrees. He's a licensed chemical dependency counselor. And Sherrod also holds the same certification you and I hold, Wayne. He's a certified life coach through Orange County.
Hi, Sherrod.
Hey, hello. How are you, sir?
Nice to meet you, sir.
You too, as well.
So, Sherrod's now, you know, we're going to catch up with Sherrod and see what he's been doing and then talk a little bit about the services that he's providing and will continue to provide in multiple settings. And so without further ado, thanks for coming on the show today, Sherrod.
Greatly appreciate the opportunity and the privilege.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I guess kind of you would do it best, kind of walk through your experience from 1998. As far as your education and other experiences with, you know, John Peter Smith and kind of do that resume type of, you know, kind of catch us up.
Yes, sir. Like you said, I met Bruce. I transitioned from Missouri to Texas in pursuit of my bachelor's degree in psychology. Met up with Bruce and showed up in his class with a little shorty shirt on. And he kind of knew I represented my culture. We had some very deep conversations. Got to know Bruce on a personal level, not just a professional level. One day I gave him a call and just asked him, hey, I'm thinking about becoming a counselor. What should I do? And he encouraged me to get on at a psych hospital, do a minimum of 2 years in order to get the experience. And I did so. And I ended up going to John Peter Smith Hospital as a mental health tech from 2006 to 2011. And within that time, I started to thinking like, wow, okay, I really enjoy working with people. So I got the degree in psychology first from the University of Phoenix. And I was like, I'd have to be a licensed psychologist. So I ended up getting a second master's in mental health counseling. Within that time, I kind of thought about things, listening to clients and families and things, and people were kind of complaining about being in therapy all the time. And therapy. So I said, okay, what can I do to make a difference and make an impact where I wouldn't present myself as a therapist? So I, in 2018, I developed Next Level Focus Mentoring. So I took that approach and I started mentoring and talking to families and, in a sense, like coaching and just guiding these young people to a new legacy, teaching them techniques on how to think, teaching them you know, how to make decisions, teach them about how to regulate their emotions. Then the time passed. Bruce presented me with another opportunity to become a certified life coach. And I was like, oh, okay. So I took the coaching class, and here I am now. I've been working with families since 2018, teaching life skills to youth, teaching parenting skills to parents. I've worked at several different entities of working with young people struggling with addiction. So I ended up going to get the LCDC so that I could have a certification and a license as well to just be more presentable and where people will be more likely to deal with
me. Right. And with all due respect, man, you hold a license. You know, I mean, there's a difference between a certification and a license. While certifications are good, right? Mm-hmm. All certification means is that a national body outside yourself recognizes your work, but a license is issued by a state board, and it allows you to hang out a shingle and collect money as a, you know, well, as a licensed provider. Yes, sir.
I've got a question, Sherrod, about, I was going to ask it anyway. That last license you said you went and got where you're mentoring people, or what was that the license you said you had?
Licensed chemical dependency counselor.
Yes, yes. How does a person go about getting that?
Well, you have to. They have a program for it to where you can get an associate's degree. You can go to a local community college and obtain that. But since I had the master's degree,
yes,
I was able to bypass doing all of the practicum hours because you have to do 3,000 hours. On a job or somewhere like that. But since I had the master's degree, I was able to forego all of the hours.
Man, that's awesome. Man, and that makes one whale of a difference, I'll bet.
Yes, sir.
Like Bruce said, you can. That really gives you really credibility to hang a shingle out in that field and collect money. First of all, Sherrod, I'm blown away. You are the kind of person back in Ohio where I lived for a good long time. I had, believe it or not, I had friends like you that did all that, went to school and were in actually social services with the county, but we all hung together. And I had one of these guys that was in children's services, mm-hmm. that wound up going from there to get his law degree. And I'm just so impressed with how you've taken hold of all of this. And I mean, you never stop learning. That's just amazing. I just wanted to say that. So Bruce, I'll turn it back over to you.
Oh, no, that's good stuff. Right. The licensed chemical dependency counselor is like a college curriculum. And just like clinical psychology or counseling or social work, you go to college for it. Get at least one, if not two degrees in it. And then you sit for a board and then have thousands of hours of experience to get your license. So it's quite an achievement, man. And so yeah, man, my hat's off to you. So let's go back a little bit and put your hat on. There you go. Put your memory hat on there.
My hat goes off.
You remember the first fit? Now we got to talk categorically now, Sherrod. We got to talk categorically to protect the innocent. But remember the first family I referred you to was a young man and he had the brothers that lived in the house with him. And, uh-huh. and your role was like a sober companion or a coaching companion. Or you talk about that assignment a little bit.
Yeah, that was a very interesting assignment because it was the first one. And it was kind of out of my comfort zone, but it was also presented to me as a challenge to see how impactful I could be, you know, outside of my comfort zone. And it was a high-end family, just monitoring the young man and helping him try to remain sober, making right decisions. It was definitely a challenge, but along with Bruce's guidance and Almighty God, was able to accomplish some good stuff with that young man, getting him in a direction, going in a direction. I think he still had a few hiccups, but I know the main part, he got the main part, and he started making some good decisions.
That's right. And he's doing well. He's doing well today, and of course his brothers are doing well as well, but he's doing well. And you know, and you were there to stand in the gap where nobody else was there. And clearly, you know, clearly, you were the person to do that mission, hands down, and you did it in a supreme way. And so that's one thing about coaching, y'all, that he was able to do intensive work in the home, intensive work in the home, to include staying multiple nights in the home when as needed, as necessary, and able to do that. And man, you know, you just that close range sober companion or whatever, coaching or whatever, it is just when you need it, you need it. And he was there to do that. And so that was a wonderful situation. Now, Shirai, let's fast forward to the last young man in the Grapevine area, Mr. PC, if you remember those initials. But anyway, do you remember who, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, and not only did you do work with the kid, I mean, and this was a young man who had, you know, some not so much alcohol and drug issues, but oppositional defiant issues as manifested, you know, in his relationship with the parents. And, mm-hmm. and talk a little bit about the work you did with the young man, but moreover, talk about the work that you did with the parents and the mom and them. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a very challenging situation, challenging case. But however, you know, understanding the young man's diagnosis and getting to know him personally, presenting information to him from a different angle. That's one of my goals and one of my strategies that I use, just trying to present information in a different way. He was very oppositional. I mean, he would get upset to the point where sometimes he would get up and just hit something, things like that. And at the same time, I felt the need of really elevating his parents, because they yes. had a lack of knowledge of how to really interact with him. And it was more of a judgment. It was more of scorning him. And every time, well, why did you do that? And we all know what why questions do. They put us on the defense. So I taught them how to communicate with him and not ask him why, but, you know, what's going on? What's going through your mind? What can you tell me about what's happening right now? What is it that I can do to show you support? And more of a subtle kind of soft approach versus more of attacking, making him feel judged. But it was a really good opportunity, and even got some good opportunity working with the couple as a married couple. Did a little bit of marriage coaching.
You did a little bit of marital coaching in that same tour. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So kind of helped them get their relationship back on track as well. And I think that's the beauty of having the license and having the upper education, you know, the master's degree.
And having the coaching certification to allow those services to take place in the home.
Absolutely. Because I always thought about that, you know, as I was going through listening, because I developed a lot of my curriculum and my approach based on what I was hearing from the clients themselves, mm-hmm. on the stigma of going to an office, how people made fun of you. Oh, I'll just go in there and tell the therapist what they want to hear. So I kind of started thinking, well, wow, what if I could go to their home and I could see them in their natural environment, in their natural habitat? It's kind of hard to fake somebody out when you're in your own natural turf. So I developed that to where I would start coming into the homes, and the parents was like, wow, they were elated with that. Like, you come to our house? Yes, you don't even have to leave. I'll do all the driving. I'll come right to you. And see, it worked. It worked very well. Of course, the pandemic kind of put a halt in that, a good halt. But prior to that, and now, as it starts to pick back up, people really enjoy that service that you've been able to come to their home.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And that's just, you know, invaluable that you were able to do that. And so, man, it's been a while since I've done that. A lot of my stuff, it's not the home, it's more telephone. Video, you know, coaching and stuff through Zoom call like platforms. Met some folks out in the community, you know, at restaurants and those things. But man, you know, the fact that you're able to do that and go in the home with these youth is an amazing thing. And so now what I want to showcase or underscore with you is that, unlike many other coaches, and I have two other affiliated coaches, one I'm super close to, and the other one is like a son-like figure, but your expertise is a little bit broader, because not only can you do the substance use, I'm going to start referring you some folks that have behavioral issues, boundary violation issues, and those things. So talk a little bit about how your psych experience at John Peter Smith and other facilities is going to help you be a calming and coaching influence with these kids with the oppositional defiant or just bad boundary violating behaviors. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was an invaluable, I mean, all the words in the world, I can't formulate sentences that can tell you how valuable that experience was working at John Peter Smith Hospital, because I've seen all of the diagnoses come alive. And a lot of those individuals have those type of issues, boundaries, physical boundaries. They want to get so close to you. They don't know any boundaries, or emotional boundaries. They don't know. They'll just say anything to you. It doesn't matter. They have no filter. And so being in that environment, it taught me how to, first of all, be patient, but be present. And that's a good one, to be patient and to be present, because when individuals have behavior issues, a lot of times they want to intimidate you. They want to put us, they stand in an aggressive manner. They speak to you in an aggressive tone. But if you can be patient with them, because I'm a pretty big guy myself, so I had to learn how to keep a subtle and a non-threatening stance, which is what they taught us when we went through our training. And that helps. And to be present and to stay focused on what do you need? Right. What do you need right now? It's not about me and you. It's about you and what you need right now. And using the verbal de-escalation continuum to be able to get them to kind of calm themselves down and realize I'm not a threat. I'm an ally.
That's right. That's right. You know, and that is one. That's one thing that's unique about all of us, including my other coaches. Well, I won't say the weight point, but I know everybody here today is about 6 foot, to ranging between 6 foot and 6 foot five. Wayne, you about 6'5" or 6'4"?
No, 6'3".
6'3". Oh man, he's being modest. Wayne's 6'4". Man, he's just he's. But anyway, but yeah, it's we're tall guys, and I'm well over 200 pounds, and when you're over 6 foot tall and over 200 pounds, you have a calming influence on a lot of dudes, you know. Believe it or not, they're not gonna, especially the young ones, they're not gonna square up on you, right, as fast, because like you said, they size you up, right?
They do, and that's why when you go inside of a psych emergency hospital, psychiatric hospital, majority of your techs are 6 foot, over 200 plus, or muscular build, just for that reason, that presence, that kind of sets the tone.
And I think when you were talking, Shreddis, usually someone I found that, and this is just through life, okay, but that does something wrong, they're doing something wrong, they get defensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you were kind of reminding me of what you were talking about. I mean, I had a sister like that in her marriage that. She'd come home from doing something down in the bar and want to beat her husband up. You know, that was kind of defensive instead of her. She was the one that did the bad deed, you know. And people get defensive and they don't want to listen to you. They are very aggressive. That's what you call it, aggressive. Yeah. Right. And that's kind of what reminded me of people that, even employees and things, if they're not performing right and you have a talk with them, the first thing they fall to, they go to that defense, that aggressive, rah, 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 you know? And you've got to, as a leader, from what my experience is, if you're a good leader, you have to do what you said. That's part of leadership training also. You've got to be able to listen. We're not here for this. I'm I'm on your side. You know, don't shoot the messenger. I'm going to help you. So you've got to be able to structure that in patience. See, I can't believe you said it, because this is my philosophy.
Listening.
And you've got to have that. You've got to be patient.
Absolutely.
I tell you, I can't wait. I hope I get Bruce. I got to go meet this guy.
Well, our LA Talk Radio Christmas party. We'll have to have a LA Talk Radio mid-year gathering there, and have everybody, in attendance. Sherrod, yeah. Drew, Brennan, and myself, possibly Miss Deanne, and we'll be all in attendance and have a nice meeting, lunch, or hey man, we can have a little soiree down here in my office. So
there you go.
I got the space for it down, man. For real. Have it catered. There we go. Bring it in, man. Okay. So man, here we go. So here we have an individual here that has institution experience on various institutions, decades of live client experience, from private school kids to kids involved heavily in the criminal justice system, highly combative kids, psychotic kids, those things, and adults as well. Now that's right. Now adults as well. I want to tack that on now. Sherrod is definitely dealt with, I think, just about every type of individual walking the face of the earth that is going to require some level of intervention or help, coaching or psychotherapy or hardline psychiatry for that matter, in terms of med stabilization and those things. So
there, John Peter Smith is just like Walmart, man. You come and get everything.
Ooh,
see it man. All.
Yeah. You still, yeah. And I worked at the Austin State Hospital in Austin, Texas, and did that for a little bit over a year. And it was, just an experience that is beyond words. So, but it definitely set the foundation for later on. Anyway, okay. So, man, this is good stuff. I know that primarily, our first primary target for you is going to be working with youth. But then I'm going to branch off into adults. Well, I do want to say is that specialty area is, I think that I'll be one of the first people to take on boundary violating clients. Again, I'm talking about physical, possibly even sexual boundary violators, people on probation, possibly, you know what I mean? For said boundary violation behaviors, and have a coach in addition to their mental health come into the home. I know of no such operation.
Wow.
I believe it does not exist. So at this time. So
awesome. That's going to be awesome.
We're not disciples. We're apostles. We're going to do it.
That's awesome.
We're going to do it.
Awesome.
Now we're going to do it. It's happening, and all the groundwork is laid for it to happen, and we're just probably a few days away from that indeed happening. So I can kind of see through my gift of prophecy where that's going to head. I think it's going to head in that direction, as well as the youth. Okay, then. Talk a little bit about you worked at CFA, you helped, didn't you help talk about that curriculum you developed for that hospital? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. It's one of the places that I worked. It's, I helped develop the family education curriculum.
Correct.
They paused in doing it because they didn't have enough personnel. And so I volunteered because I said, well, does it have to be a licensed therapist or can it be someone with master's degree and it's just education? So they told me education. So at the time, the guy that was facilitating the program asked me to develop it and just put it in my hands, and I put the topics together based on the sequence of the mental, the physical, and the spiritual, bringing them all together. And I developed that curriculum, and that curriculum is still in use today. I mean, they've tweaked it a little bit, but the core is that I developed it based on what I heard parents needing and what they were asking for. You know, how do I connect to my team? I mean, so one of the questions that I would ask is, what's your child's favorite song? And a lot of these high-end parents would be like, well, they like that rap stuff. They like these rap guys. And so they turned a deaf ear. So I twisted it on them and said, do you know what it is about that individual that they like? No, I never thought about that. Also, deeper than that, what's the message behind the message? That's a conversation that they like. So that's a topic that they like. And now you're engaging with your child on a topic that is tough for you, but they like. So now you get to create a conversation. And the atmosphere is warm and inviting versus you coming in and attacking them all the time. Well, why do you like that rap music? Why do you like that song? Why do you like that individual? And all individuals like someone that is similar to them. So it's almost like when we do the superhero thing. You know how we do that, Bruce, with counseling and coaching. Who's your superhero? So that superhero has characteristics that are similar to mine. And so parents were like, I never thought of that. I said, yeah, so just give it a try.
Uh-oh. Oh, we lost him.
Oh, man, listen, hopefully he'll come back.
He's unbelievable, Bruce.
Yeah, man.
He is really sharp. Man. Sure.
He's out of there. Hopefully, okay, Sam will bring him back. He'll just re-log in, reset. Yeah. You know? But again, yeah, this is good stuff. You know, I mean, he let me go off and onto a mini rant while we're waiting on him to come on. It was really good because he was working at this hospital and they said, look, as long as it's not therapy, as long as you're providing an education didactic program, we're good. Okay. And so, right. Here he is. He's come back. I'm just talking about, he's just teaching a class. And because he's teaching the class, he's able to do it. Although the class has therapeutic gains, he's not conducting therapy per se. He's just teaching a class, right? Or he's just giving pointers. And so that's the beautiful thing about coaching. And there's that kind of fine chalk line there, right? There's a walk in a chalk line between counseling and coaching sometimes, right? We're walking a chalk line as a coach, trying not going that foul ball, walking that chalk line. But yeah, man, and that was just that just a great window, great opportunity, curriculum development, executed on it, taught it, and was able to really help a lot of people with that, man.
Yes, yes. And it's really beautiful when you empower parents because they don't know what to do. I mean, that's not their profession. I mean, you don't get a manuscript on how to rear the perfect child. That's OJT. That's on-the-job training right there. Mm-hmm. There's no manuscript. You know, I know we can go spiritual, but we still have to have those life experiences earthly in order to transcend into the spiritual. So it's definitely that empowerment is big.
Sherrod, I love that every time you're talking, you, even when you design that curriculum, you talked about, you put God in there. You put spiritual in there. That's, you know, it's kind of like that grabs me too. I like that.
Absolutely. I mean,
thank you. If I had a child that, I'd want him to be talking to somebody like you or Bruce, because you guys have that.
Oh yeah, I greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, that's so powerful. A lot of the kids that are in situations like that, they don't have that. And they so that's why their superheroes vary so much. And that's why they listen to things that they don't. Anyway, you know what I'm getting at.
Right, right. You know, they connect to something. They connect to something or someone.
That's right.
They feel like they can relate to. They won't judge them. Won't put them down.
That's right. That's right. Man alive, this is powerful.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I finally connected and finally got an understanding of what it meant that each generation get wiser, but they get weaker. I finally got the understanding that okay, each generation gets wiser, technology with earthly things, but they get weaker spiritually. And so that spiritual component is what's missing. And see that in today's time, that a lot of our youth frown on God. They're not, oh, well, I know about him. Whatever. But not realizing that that's the final piece to the puzzle of your recovery, of your healing, is when you can bow down and allow your spiritual self to take over your earthly self. And that's when you can start to develop that understanding about how to live.
Oh, man. Gee, where's I just got goosebumps on my toenails?
That's what's up, man.
That is what it's all about. Boy.
What's up, man? That's real talk.
I wish I'd have recorded that right there.
Hey, it is being recorded. You go back.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to write it down because there's
put it in an endless loop, man.
There's some awesome messages.
Man, to get wiser. But to get
a great tagline. That's a great tagline.
And you know what? It's not like the wisdom that Solomon had either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not that Solomon type of wisdom. It's more informational. Access to information, access to, you know what I mean?
Right.
But you know, as a coach, or, and I'm talking a coach outside of certified coach, a leader, a manager, all this stuff. You know, if the youth, as each generation comes up, Sherrod said they get wiser or smarter because they know technology that I don't know.
Right.
But they get
weaker.
Weaker. That's a nice way of saying, but they get stupid. But they get wiser. So they get, or they get weaker. They get wiser and weaker. Those two, that is so powerful. I never even thought of it like that.
But man, I think it's going to get even worse. I hate to sound like an old man, but it's going to get worse with AI. You got Microsoft Copilot on your phone. Hey, man, what's this? Boom, boom, boom. Hey, man, what's the answer to this problem? Boom, boom. And man, now you got AI, and then people won't be able to think for themselves. They'll just rely on the AI to think, you know. Well, I don't need this. I don't have to go to math. That's why I got my Copilot, or I have my phone or whatever. Man, that's a kid to death right there, man.
You know, but when I was in high school, they would not let us use a slide rule.
Right.
Because it was cheating. Because that was cheating in math. Slide rule. Most people that are 30 years or younger don't even know what a slide rule is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Now, today can use his phone or his calculator in a math class.
Have to be.
So you're right.
Folks,
we're getting wiser and weaker. Ooh.
Wiser, but they're also getting weaker.
Weaker, right?
Yeah.
Because human contact is no longer existing.
It's not as valued.
Yeah, not as valued. Yeah. There you go, Boots. It's not as valued anymore. Yeah. It's now how do we like the old saying, work smarter but not harder. So now everybody hit the staples button, right? The easy button. Everybody wants the easy button. How can I get to the fruit easy?
Right. I don't
want real work in. I just want to reap the benefit of.
Right.
You know, so bringing back that old school touch. Y'all know when we was in school, when we was growing up, we spent a lot of time outdoors. We were creative. You know, we used our, one of the classes that I do teach young men is about creativity and imagination. Imagine it, you can create it. So a lot of times I do an exercise where I'll have them look at a blank TV and say, look in there, and what's your next episode? You have to see yourself. You have to visualize yourself and your change. You have to speak it into existence, but I want you to imagine it first. Let's use our imagination on what it looks like and what it sounds like. I always put those two together. Meaning, what's your conversation about? What's your communication? How do you relate? How do you communicate with people? You know, what does it sound like? What are you hearing? What are you allowing to go in between your ears? What are you processing in your mind as valuable, as something that can elevate you or devastate you? So what does it look like? Who are the type of people you're going to be around? Who are you going to be involved with? What type of activities are you going to be engaged in? What type of house do you want to live in? What type of car do you want to drive? What type of wardrobe? What type of bank account would you like to have? So I kind of use, that's one of my interventions that I use, imagination and creativity.
I got, Sherrod, I got to talk to you when we get finished. I got to talk to you. In a good way, I got to ask you a couple questions.
I'll send you a cell phone, Wayne. Once
yeah, dude, because I want to reach out. I've been in the sales industry all my career.
Yes, sir.
And I want to talk to you about being on a call sometime.
Yeah, man, you might want. Hey, you ought to have Sherrod do some Soundmaster sidekick stuff for you or whatever.
I tell you, we do a call every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and that's what I want to talk about. It's because that little visualization you just said, I want to talk to you in depth about that a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well,
I mean, you got, Sherrod, you've got degrees. You've visualized and you've accomplished and you're still accomplishing. But I'll tell you, the most important thing I think you have isn't all the degrees, isn't all your certifications. The most important thing you have is what's in here.
Yes, you know, sir.
When I hired people into the company for years and they say, I can help people. Now, here's, do they want you to come back? You know, do people ask three questions. They don't ask them out loud, but they ask them in their brain. Number one is, can I trust you? You know, those are the people we talk to. The number one thing they're saying, wait a minute, can I trust this guy? Are you committed to excellence? In other words, are you good? Are you committed to helping me? And number three is, do you care about me?
Absolutely.
And we've got to be able, or they've got to be able to say yes to all those for that relationship to be good. And if you have that ability, and I think sometimes those abilities are not, they're not science, they're art. And I think some people are born with them.
Well, it's a talent. Yeah, it's an inborn.
It's a talent, just like playing the piano or singing. Okay. I could be a tenor, like Pablo.
Pavarotti. Yeah.
Yeah, Pavarotti, but I just didn't have the talent. Now, when I was in school, I had tenors. I sang tenor solo, and I did pretty well back then because I was a lot younger. I did tenor solo, but it was 10 or 12 miles away solo. Nobody could hear me.
Yes, sir.
There you go.
But they got to come back.
You make it good, man.
Yeah.
So, I think that the other thing I want to say about that exercise, about what does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it smell like? What this and that and the other, and speak it into existence. But he's not doing it in a prosperity gospel kind of way, right? It's not like a secret. Okay, I just want to make sure, you know, we clarify that for our viewers at home, man. Like, hey, no, man. It's just that in order for you to move forward, you have to be able to at least articulate your goal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, you kind of use some of the SMART goals, you know.
Right.
Make specific. How you going to measure it? You know, how you going to clean it? Yeah. Is it realistic? Is it relevant?
Break it up into parts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, make sure it's relevant. I tell people to operate off of facts, not opinion.
I had a Facebook. I put up a Facebook post today. It says it's not your actions, but your motivations.
You go and I click like on that.
You see that one? Yeah, boy. I saw some people out there virtue signaling. Look at me, and I'm such a good person. This and that, and man, y'all see that every couple of years. I'll just post stuff on there, man, and just amusing. But that was when the thought for today. Is about, you know, your motivation, not your actions.
Right.
You know, people will say, well, actions are louder than words and da-da-da, but man, it's that motivation behind that action.
Absolutely.
Means a lot, what, you know.
Yeah, what motivates you to get to that action.
That's right, yes. Yes.
So, all right. So now, we cleared a lot of stuff, man. Background, experiences, right? Working with youth, we're going to be working with some adults, going to add in the behavioral the behavioral part. I guess go back, and I want to pay homage to your company, Next Level Focus. I mean, talk a little bit about that and what you've done with some of the stuff with Next Level Focus, what you've done not only with the youth, families, but also I think you gave some advice and counsel to nonprofit organizations or people contemplating becoming a nonprofit organization. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I 2018 is when I really solidified and went and registered Next Level Focus Mentoring, because I just was looking at a way to get into the youth, get into these families, get into the community. And I heard a lot about, I used to work for a nonprofit organization that worked in the school of Moja, which stands for Unity. And I wanted to kind of piggyback off of that and see how could I get into the impact the individuals that are struggling, identity crisis and things like that.
Hopefully he'll make it.
But I learned about the nonprofit. So it is a nonprofit organization. Again, and what we do is we just go out and we provide services that are in need in the community. And our partnership up with a lot of other, I got a couple of guys that I partnership up with, a pastor, Pastor James Terry Jr., Mr. Ken Carlisle. He's a very powerful guy. I met him at CFA. I met the pastor at CFA. He has, Mr. Carlisle has a, he's a barber, and he also has a mentoring program. Hopeless Dope Fiend. He's a guy that I may want to see if you guys can get on there as well, because he's has a powerful story. You know, he I'll let him tell it, but he served time on both the state and federal level.
Wow.
But he wrote a book that's very powerful and working with a lot of the youth. So yeah, I mean, just connecting up in the community, you know, rubbing elbows with good people and just realizing, man, that, you know what? I'd rather have the connection over the money. I'd rather connect to your soul, connect to your spirit, because that's where you move. If you can't move a person's spirit, you can't move them physically, mentally, or emotionally. You have to connect to that spirit. You have to look deep in their eyes, connect to their soul, and allow them to understand, like you said, I'm trustworthy. I'm consistent, and I love and enjoy what I do. And when you can connect those dots and people can really look at you and say, wow, that's powerful.
See that, but that is powerful. That is powerful. You know, I don't know if you ever heard of a guy named Lou Holtz.
Yes.
I watched a video 20 years ago he did. It was called Do Right. And, of course, we're in different businesses, okay? But it was do right, avoid doing wrong, be committed to excellence. That's how he ran his football career. That's what he would talk with his coaches. And he would even tell them that same thing about there's three questions going through someone's mind. And he would go through those with his coaches. And then he would tell his coaches, he would say, listen, you're going to do your job. You know how I believe and what I do. And he's a very spiritual guy, you know. And he said, you know how I would handle it. So just go about your job. I'm not going to bother you. Now, if there's something outside there, you got something come up, feel free to call me. Otherwise, do your job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, in other words, they trusted him. They, you know, and that's what a good leader. If you're a good leader, you know, leaders aren't, you can't just give someone the title. They have to earn it.
Absolutely. But
a good leader, people will follow him. A bad leader, people shoot him in the back.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's those questions that you just said.
I still do some work at JPS. And the other day, the manager was there, and you know, she was talking to him, and I looked at her and I said, "Well, you're a leader. You're not a manager." You know, as they use in football, the game manager. I said, "No, you're a leader." I said, "You're not a boss. You're a leader." And she looked at me and said, "Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that." I said, "Cause I'm gonna tell you one thing. I don't work for bosses. I work with leaders." Yeah, I don't. I'll fire myself before I work with a boss.
See, this is holy moly.
Yeah.
Now, are you talking about J.P. Peter in Fort Worth?
Uh-huh, John Peter Smith. Yes, sir.
Okay. Man, we're neighbors then.
Yeah, I do some work. I do some work with the outpatient services.
Cool.
individuals coming to outpatient PHP groups and partial hospitalization program and the intensive outpatient program. So I work with those individuals.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bruce, this has sure been an exciting call. It's funny, I get more out of this than I think our listeners do. I get so excited, I want to go out and climb a tree backwards.
There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. No, man, I just, you know, we're just really, blessed to know the people we know and be in association with folks and, mm-hmm. and be in the presence of others that are like-minded and want to help other people at their core, you know, and, also Mr. Ellis is a parent. Sherrod's also a parent himself. I don't know if we talked about that or not, but he's a parent. So he understands mm-hmm. that aspect. Also, like you said, you got to have that OJT on parenting.
Yeah.
And man, you know, the fact that you have that as well, also is something that shouldn't be overlooked.
Right, man. Yes, sir. Also, I've been grooming a couple of different guys. I got another soon. Once he's confident and comfortable within his own skin to be able to, I'm gonna introduce you to Mr. James Johnson as well. You know, he's coming up. I've been teaching him. We've been friends for over 20 plus years. And I got him. He got his coaching license as well.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, he got his coaching license. Good entrepreneur, young man. He teaches young men. He makes oils, organic oils, you know, for
okay. oil. And so essential oil, yeah.
Essential, yeah. So he's a pretty good guy, man. So been kind of doing like you, old Bruce, been kind of grooming some folk.
Okay. That's awesome. For the next generation. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, good. We got just a little bit under 3 minutes, so I just want to go ahead, Sherrod, and tell our listeners and everybody how they can connect with you, your website, social media, email, whatever. How do you want folks to be able to connect with you, Sherrod?
Yeah, you can go and visit my website. It's www.nlfmtexas.org. www.nlfmtexas.org. Phone, you know, you can reach me on phone, 817-371-2593. Or you can reach me at SherrodEllis@gmail.com. SherrodEllis@gmail.com.
And that's Sherrod.Ellis or Sherrod Ellis?
No, it's just Sherrod Ellis. Right. SherrodEllis@gmail.com.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Want to chat it up? Just give me a call. Give me a text. Get on the website and look at the website. I'm getting some. It's under construction, but I still have some good information on there. A little bit about myself. I went down. I think I got a little video clip of going down, talking to the homeless population in, get this, Goat Neck, Texas.
Goat Neck, Texas. No way.
Yeah. Goat Neck, Texas. So, you know, so I had the privilege of going.
Oops.
Oh, well. Bruce, you rough that down with that. Tough down. There he is.
I had the privilege of going down there and speaking to a homeless population. And so I got a little clip of that on my website.
Sherrod, so is that?
Just go check it out.
817-371-2953.
What's your cell, Sherrod? Sherrod, yourself, Sherrod.
Can't hear.
What's yourself?
He's not listening.
Well, that's okay. I'll get it to you, Wayne. Okay. Yeah, well, don't worry. I got it. We got it on text. I'll get it to you. Thanks. All right, and Wayne, how can folks reach you?
Wayne_515@yahoo.com.
Excellent, man. And folks, you can see us on Concierge Coach's Facebook page, Concierge_coaches Instagram, or on Apple Podcast, iHeartMedia. We're on Amazon, Audible, and several other podcast aggregators. And I can be reached on ConciergeCoach.net. So with that, thanks, Sherrod, for coming on to the show, if you can hear us.
Oh, yeah. Thank y'all for inviting me.
Sherrod, what was your cell phone again? So Wayne's taking notes.
817-371-2593.
There it is. All right. So we're going to finish right on the right on time. So everybody have a blessed week and come see us next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, see you later. Thank you. Peace.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz only.